We're joined now by Juliette Brophy. She's a professor in the LSU Department of Geography and Anthropology. She's a paleoanthropologist. Was involved in the discovery of a primitive small-brained creature whose remains were found in South Africa near Johannesburg, the Rising Star Cave. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
Juliette
Jim.
Brophy. This was a major finding that I'm glad to see The Advocate did a nice story on it yesterday, but in the scientific world, this is big stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's one of the biggest finds in the last probably 40 years.
Why is it so big?
So one of the reasons is that there are so many hominids found in one spot. So in 2015, I was a part of the team that named the species, the specimens that came out of the Dinaledi chamber, which is in the Rising Star Cave system. And there were roughly just over 1,800 purely hominid species, early human ancestors, that came out of that cave. So that's a really big number of hominid specimens to find at one site. And there were no other animals found at that site, which is also very rare. On Tuesday, we announced a new chamber called the Lacetti Chamber, which also has the same species in it.
877-217-5757. And for people into anthropology and science, this is huge news, and it's happening right on our doorstep at LSU with Dr. Brophy being at the forefront. And the discovery questions previous assumptions of behavior attributed to the rise of modern humans and thought to represent the origins of complex modern human activities. What's the news here for the layperson who may not be as immersed in this as you?
So we see the transition to more advanced technological tools at sites where we often don't have bones that have been found at it where we can associate a species with it. And so we made the assumption that they were made by modern humans. So we see modern humans around about 200,000, 225,000 in East Africa, but we don't have any confirmed places in South Africa other than at such an old age. But we have the tools. Mm-hmm. So it was always assumed that they were made by modern humans. So now that we have another species that existed between 235 and 336,000 years, it very well could have been made by Homo naledi.
How long ago?
Right. It's somewhere between, we announced on Tuesday that it was somewhere between 236 and 335,000 years ago.
Long time ago. Yes. Homo sapiens began in Africa, migrated around the world. What sent you to this cave in South Africa?
An undergraduate, I fell in love with a fossil. That's the honest truth. And I really wanted to go study her in South Africa. Her name is Mrs. Plez. Most of my students know that I have a weird obsession with her. And so
yeah.
I really wanted to go study down with her. So I did my master's down there at Tennessee and then my PhD working on similar sites, early humans. So I had a large data set where I could go and work on these new fossils.
Now you've brought a visual aid with you. Very attractive visual aid. Tell me about this.
Yes, so I brought a small-scale cast of Homo naledi, which is the name of the species that we found there. And it's just a fascinating specimen because overall the body has a mix of primitive or ancestral as well as derived traits. But I think probably one of the most interesting things is that the shape of the skull is very modern human-like.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely on the human lineage, which is why we put it in the genus Homo, but it has a very small brain size, sitting at about 465 to about 620. So we have a small range, which would be a large chimp or a very large chimp and a very small within the genus Homo. So we did not expect that to happen. We thought that the brain size got bigger and then the shape changed. All previous data that we had suggested that hypothesis. But now we know that we have a specimen that actually shows that the reorganization of the skull may have happened first.
All right. It's the Mark Ballard story in The Advocate yesterday, but the brain cavity is small. And so what does that mean? Does that mean less intelligence?
Well, we don't associate direct size with intelligence, but yes, in general, that we would not expect them to be certainly not as smart as us. The modern human brain size is approximately 1,400 cc's. And so, again, this one would be about, average about 500 cc's.
And what does this do as far as future research in this area?
Oh, there's so much to do. The first thing it tells us is that there are a lot of fossils out there. There were some previous researchers that thought maybe we had found everything. And we continue to explore these caves and find that there are a lot of remains still in South Africa to be found.
Are teeth an indicator of what you're dealing with?
Absolutely. So that's exactly what I focus on, the dental aspects of it, or the dental morphology. And I think they're arguably the coolest part of the site.
Yeah.
So I always look at sometimes some people that I work with at the University of Witwatersrand think that they call me a dental anthropologist, fossil dentist. So yeah, we can tell a lot about it in terms of overall diet, as well as changes over time. We could look at evolutionary relationships, and that's actually what my research focuses on, looking at the form or the shape and the size of teeth and how that can tell us if all in South Africa, do they all look the same? If it looks similar to one in East Africa, is it due to diet or is it due to them being related to each other? So we can look at those types of questions.
Now, you had quite a team with you. Who were some of the people working with you on this project?
I worked with Trenton Holliday, was at from the Tulane University, and then Daryl DeRuyter, my advisor from South Africa. We had Lucas Delazine, was from the University of Arkansas. I mean, there were... For the original workshop, the Rising Star workshop in 2015, he put out, Lee Berger, at the head of the Evolutionary Studies Institute at the University of Witwatersrand, put out a call for early career scientists or individuals that had large data sets to be able to help identify these new specimens, because when we went down there, we had no idea what they were. And there were, he got roughly 300 applicants, and he came up with 30 individuals from 16 different universities. There were some older mentors on the project as well, but for the most part, it was early career scientists.
All right. So it also was involving a National Geographic Explorer, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Marina Elliott. And yeah. Well, and obviously Lee Berger is a National Explorer in Residence, I think.
Now, a listener asks about the database for teeth. You actually keep a database for teeth, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, what does that show? How many teeth do you have in your database?
Oh, I mean, we don't have a lot of teeth in the fossil record, but I mean, hundreds.
Hundreds?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've documented.
So teeth from 300,000 years ago, how do they differ from teeth today? I don't imagine there was a lot of cosmetic surgery, braces, and that sort of thing going on.
But these teeth in particular, so we see that teeth in general get smaller over time, and that's definitely a reflection of diet.
Really?
So where we change our teeth.
So our teeth are smaller than those from our ancestors.
Right. And so that's one of the things that we used to identify this specimen as being in the genus Homo, because it does have small teeth. But another interesting fact is that there's called the molar size gradient. So we have three molars, and the first molar in our mouths is bigger than the second one, and the third one's the smallest. A more primitive or ancestral condition is that the third molar is the biggest. They get bigger as they go back. And so that's interesting that Homo naledi actually has that primitive or ancestral characteristic, when we do not.
When are you going back?
Mid-June.
Mid-June.
Yes.
And so you go down there and it's like a three-day weekend, or you spend a little longer than that?
It's actually, you're right. Yeah, I'll be there for about 5 weeks.
5 weeks. Mm-hmm. In mid-June in an area near Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, yeah.
But this Rising Star Cave, that must be quite a place.
It is actually wonderful. I haven't been in the cave, and there isn't much to see from the cave opening. It's actually about a football field length through the cave to get down into the chamber, and then 100 meters in a different direction to the Lissetti chamber. But
the cave itself is about 100 miles or 130
miles,
right?
Yeah, no, it's very expansive.
Mm-hmm. So it's quite a place, and you'll be going with whom in June, or just you?
Just me.
Just you. You must love what you do.
I absolutely love what I do. There's no question.
And for those who haven't been to the LSU geology building, it ranks with the best in the world. They're quite. You can go in there and spend some quality time.
Absolutely. Yeah, we welcome anybody if they want to come and look at, especially our cast collection. I can show you change over time with all
the
specimens.
Right across from the Union.
Right, yes.
So, LSU paleoanthropologist Juliette Brophy, by way of Texas A&M, she is one of the researchers who helped identify a new human ancestry. It's Homo naledi.
Naledi.
Naledi.